trying to put my IFO hat on and say, okay, who's the biggest threat? Without knowing specifically what he's looking for. Because obviously, it could be something that you can't measure, like the weather or the school districts or whatever. But looking at the rosters and looking at the football teams, I was trying to come up with, all right, who really poses the biggest threat to the New York Giants?
Evan, I'm gonna ask you something. I want you to order your top three biggest threats to the New York Giants. And the pick three, quick three, is brought to you by New Jersey Lottery's Green Ball promotion. Back again on pick three evening drawings.
I think threat number one would be the Cleveland Browns based on the fact that it could be sticking it to the Ravens. It could be getting to coach one of the best defensive players of our generation. And I admit, and I pointed this out last week, the connection that he and the Harbaugh family has to the city of Cleveland, which is very tough to just ignore and throw out. I don't know what he thinks of Shedeur Sanders. I don't know if the quarterback is ultimately how he's going to make a decision. He's also going to have a top pick to play with as well. But also, it's a franchise that doesn't exactly have the greatest reputation. So that's why I don't put them one. I put them third as like a looming threat.
Right.
It's like that storm forming in the Atlantic that probably isn't going to make landfall, but you got to keep an eye on it. Threat number two is Atlanta, because you've spoke glowingly about Matt Ryan.
Yep, and Arthur Blank, who's an amazing man.
They both have great reputations.
Right.
And it's just the facts. Like, Arthur Blank is considered one of the more respected owners in the sport. Matt Ryan, who obviously just took the job running his former franchise. And then you throw in the fact that while they may not have the obvious answer at cornerback, assuming he doesn't love Michael Penix Jr., you are talking about one of the best running backs on the planet in Bijan Robinson. Mm-hmm. You're talking about some weapons on offense. They have a lot of talent on their roster. The negative is they don't have their first-round pick.
Right.
They don't have their first-round pick, which is something the Giants do, something the Browns do, something the other competitors do. But I think the reputation of ownership, Matt Ryan, I could see Atlanta being the threat. And remember, the Falcons are the team that prematurely decided to tweet out yesterday that they've interviewed John Harbaugh. When they didn't interview John Harbaugh, they simply had a phone conversation with John Harbaugh, which a lot of teams have done.
Yeah, so think about, I think you have to stop thinking about this in the way that we as fans think about. Who's their quarterback? What's their roster look like? It's more, what's the owner? Because the reason I would push against the Browns being the number one threat for John Harbaugh is that he comes from a place of extreme competency when it comes to ownership. Bisciotti was great in Baltimore. I can't see him going someplace where the owner, like Vegas, I can't see him go to Vegas where Mark Davis is all over the place. Mm-hmm. Like that wouldn't make sense to me, because John Harbaugh, after 18 years and a hugely successful run in Baltimore, is not going to go somewhere where he's got to fix upwards. You know what I mean? Like Sean Payton had to do in New Orleans. He had to fix it upwards. Like, his coaching and organizational leadership changed the organization, not just changed the football team. It changed the organization. I can't see John Harbaugh wanting to do that. So it's got to be somewhere where there's a stability and a competency from ownership down. And so I would rule Cleveland out. Atlanta would be my number one.
Would be
threat.
Number one.
Number one.
See, my number one threat is the Tennessee Titans, because the Tennessee Titans have a few things. And I know you're saying, don't just look at the quarterback. Mm-hmm. Don't look at the roster. I do it to a degree, because I believe that's what he'd be doing with the Giants. And that would be one of the edges that the Giants have, that he likes Jackson Dart. He likes some of the pieces on defense. He likes Malik Nabers. He likes the running back room, that he just looks at the roster and says, hey, I can make a difference with that roster. The Tennessee Titans have that to a degree as well. Right. Now, they don't have the skill position players, but they have the quarterback. And let's not forget, he was drafted number one overall and finished last season strong. Cam Ward is still highly, highly regarded around this league. And I wonder, as much as Giant fans may not want to believe this, but I wonder if John Harbaugh holds Cam Ward in a higher esteem than he does Jackson Dart. I don't think that'd be crazy.
Mm, yeah, it's impossible to know. I don't know if he played against... Did they play the Titans? I don't know. If they did, then he probably did some work on them. But the thing you worry about in Tennessee is everything else. Is he going to have any kind of say or control over the roster? Because what's his name?
Mike Borgonzi.
Borgonzi does everything there. And so I don't know if that's going to matter. I know it was reported but then debunked that he wants control.
But that's the same issue he would potentially have with the Giants. 100%. Because there's a ready-made general manager.
100%. But I mean, Joe Shane, let's call it for what it is on not shaky ground, but there's no certainty about right. him going forward. Borgonzi's there forever. He's not leaving Tennessee until Amy Strunk Adams is not the is the owner anymore. And so I think it's a little bit different with the Giants than it is with the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, Joe Shane's more of a pushover. He may just come in and take over.
He doesn't have a long-term contract.
Right.
Right, so he could be there for a year. He could be there. He could be gone now. Yeah. Or he could be there for a decade.
The GM dynamic is tough to figure out, but what Tennessee does have is they've got a future quarterback, mm-hmm. if he believes in him.
Yep.
They've got an all-world defensive player in Jeffrey Simmons.
Yep.
They also have the second most cap space in the NFL. So I know the Giants, and Sean argued this with me last week, that they're in a good spot cap-wise. Fine. They're not in as good of a spot as the Tennessee Titans. And also Tennessee has their pick, which is a high pick.
Yep.
They've got all the cap space. They have the young quarterback. And I don't know how much this factors in. I don't know if he's analyzing the divisions and says, ooh, that's a plus for Atlanta because the NFC South just had a team make the playoffs with a losing record. Meanwhile,
right.
the NFC East features Jaden Daniels, the Philadelphia Eagles, and the Cowboys, who should be back. I don't know if that's factored in, and I would advise that you shouldn't factor it in because that's very short-sighted. Divisions are cyclical, or at least they should be in theory. Like, year to year, the world changes. You know, so I wouldn't even look at the AFC South and say, well, that's an unwinnable division because the Colts should be good. The Jaguars are really good. The Texans are awesome. Like, I think you have to view that as something that can be altered kind of year to year. But looking at the rosters, the cap spot, the draft pick situation, if I'm using that as my frame of reference and I'm choosing to do that, I think the Tennessee Titans are the biggest threat for John Harbaugh to the New York Giants.
Yeah, we'll find out.
I still feel good about the Giant chances, but
right.
I think the Titans pose a bigger threat than maybe we realize.
Yesterday, part of that Titan report that I couldn't get over, though, was the stadium thing, that the Titans are building a new stadium. Why? What coach would care about that?
I don't think that matters. I think there's going to be a lot of reporting over the last few days that are just noise that's thrown out there. Like, I don't think that matters.
Do you think it matters that Jim Harbaugh publicly said he prefers his brother goes to the NFC?
No, that's a,
you don't think John considers it? He'll go like, yeah, I'd really not play with my brother in the playoffs and stuff like that.
First of all, here's what I would say to Jim. Hey, Jim, where'd you go? John's been in the AFC for a million years. Where'd
you
go?
Point.
Where'd you go, big shot? You could have gone to a lot of different places, Jim. You were the hottest coaching candidate for multiple years. Where'd you go? You went to the AFC West. You went to the AFC. So who the hell are you to tell your brother where he's supposed to go or not?
Boy, says a lot, though, about John if he runs to the South based on division. Jim went right into the teeth of Patrick Mahomes' division, huh?
So what does that mean? You're trying to, like, threaten John Harbaugh?
John, be more like your brother. Go take the difficult job in the East.
Now, I'm curious. Logan Ryan, who was a hell of a player, played for the Giants briefly, he chimed in with where he would kind of analyze where the best spot is for John Harbaugh, like where he thinks John would go. So Logan Ryan's one of those guys, played a long time in this league. Here's what Logan had to say about the head-to-head battle and the biggest competition for the services of John Harbaugh.
You know what? They got pros and cons of both. I think New York's more desirable. You have the young wide receiver, young quarterback, young running back. It's the New York market. But you got that GM, Joe Shane, I'm not fond of. I'm just not fond of him. From my experience with him, I don't know why he does what he does. I know he lets a lot of Pro Bowlers walk and play for different teams and whatnot, so I don't think that's good. But so you have to have someone that wants to inherit that, you know, inherit Joe Shane. And how long does Joe Shane have, right?
He doesn't like Joe Shane.
That's what we were talking about. We don't know how long Joe Shane has. And the reality is guys who have been really good elsewhere have left this team. And I know that he's trying to be cap responsible, if you want to make an excuse for Joe Shane, but sometimes you just find a way. I've said this for years. The cap is fungible, man. You can figure that out. It becomes a want-to thing. And it seems like some of these guys, he didn't want to keep them. And so they walked. And then he makes a mistake and keeps a guy like Darius Slayton, who has been unreliable for the Giants. So why?
Yeah.
Like, the why doesn't make sense sometimes with Joe Shane.
Now, you can tell Logan Ryan is not a fan of Joe Shane.
No.
Did Joe Shane cut Logan Ryan?
Correct.
That, so there may be some bitterness?
Yeah, that's direct bitterness. So you can't even, you got to take it with a grain of salt and not even put credence into it. Because it's personal.
it sounds it.
It's personal.
Here's another clip of Logan Ryan talking about Joe Shane. And yeah, it does sound a little personal.
Right now, as it's standing, Harbaugh's not going to go work for Joe Shane. I think he'll go to Atlanta, where there's no GM at the moment. Or Miami just hired a GM, you know, a few minutes ago or whatnot. So maybe that might be out for Miami. But if Joe Shane gets fired, that's for John Harbaugh.
Yeah, he needed to qualify that before the interview even started.
Yeah, by saying, I don't like Joe Shane?
No,
Joe Shane cut my ass?
Just so you know, for context, Joe Shane cut me. So I have a biased opinion about him towards the negative. So everything I say is going to be glassed by that.
Yeah.
Right? There is a tinted glass in between what I'm saying and what you're hearing.
Some guys are really good at, like, making you not realize their ulterior motive.
Yeah.
And some guys are just like, I don't like this guy.
It's also, you just need to know.
Yeah.
You need to know, why is he a Joe Shane so much? Oh, wait, he got cut by him. That makes sense.
I almost forget Logan Ryan was a Giant, but he was during the Joe Judge era in 20 and 21. And then when Shane took over, he was a part of the house cleaning.
Right.
Correct. And he wanted to come here because he was a Jersey guy, Rutgers, mm-hmm. and everything, right? So that was like a big deal that they cut him. So
I get
the bitterness.
Let's get to your calls, 888-808-1019. CJ is in Manhattan. What's up, CJ? CJ.
What's up, CJ?
Fellas, apologies. How are you guys?
All's good, man.
Good. What's up?
You know, I wanted to just ball it real quick. So my first game was the Wellington Mara game where Tiki, you ran for 206 yards.
Which, I appreciate that.
As a 7-year-old kid, that was one of the coolest things ever. We've had season tickets since 1956, and now I took them over. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, Grandpa Joe really, really hooked us up. But I heard that Tom Coughlin gave a buzz to John Harbaugh. And, you know, I was pretty blown away by that because, you know, we kind of kicked him on the way out, which, you know, pissed me off to no end. But, you know, I love the guy.
A lot of people.
But I just wanted to hear what you guys were thinking about that. And
it's really great.
Putting all our eggs in that basket.
All right. So thank you, CJ. Appreciate the call. And Tom, it's been reconciled a little bit. He's been around. You see him at training camp. He came back. Part of that is Dave's, you know, wanting guys to come back. But the 100th anniversary last year, he was back with Bill Parcells. And so I think that ice sheet that was put up between them has thawed. And Tom is now back in reverence with this team. So that doesn't surprise me. I'm glad to hear that. I hadn't heard that report, but that's pretty cool.
I also think, and I'm not saying that Tom did this, but I think it's human nature after you get dumped to kind of look at that place and say, I hope you don't have the same great success. And guess what? It worked out. They did not have great success. But enough time has gone by now where I would think it's healthy for Tom Coughlin to look at the Giants and say, all right, enough of the sucking.
Right.
All right. I proved my point. You guys love me and you miss me and you haven't been able to replace me. You've tried it a bunch of times. Now go have success. And so I think that relationship is probably in a healthy place. And I think Tom Coughlin making that phone call can't hurt. Because I think Tom can explain to John how John Harbaugh coming to the Giants is actually sort of similar to Tom Coughlin coming to the Giants. Because Tom had a really good resume in Jacksonville. He had success there. Maybe not to the level of John in terms of longevity or winning a championship. But he did go to two AFC title games, especially with a team that was created in a laboratory. And so I think he could explain to him the beauty of New York, what it's like winning here, the ownership dynamic. And so it can't hurt. And it's a good thing. And who knows, maybe it will come out after the story is written that Tom Coughlin was Mariano Rivera. And he was the closer that sealed the deal. But anything you do to get him to accept this job is a positive. Chris Mara, who I admit I don't know much about, but fairly unfairly, his name has been brought up over the years. Like, oh, Chris Mara, what does he know? I mean, he's just a Mara.
He's second to John.
Fair enough.
So he's likely the operating owner right now.
Okay. If he seals this deal, any negative thing that's been said about Chris Mara, you people should apologize. Because if he gets this done by any means necessary, it's a huge victory in Giant land.
Yeah, I think Giant fans would be excited. I do have a question about Chris Mara as it pertains to John Harbaugh. In that spot, you show up to John Harbaugh's house. Is Chris Mara
is invited?
Okay, well,
I don't think he's knocking on his door.
That's
uninvited.
That's not even here.
Hey,
there.
Dad, I was in town. You there? Hey,
that's not even a point. Like planned or not, you show up at the house.
You bring in ordered in food.
That's what I'm saying. If Chris Mara's shown up at the lunch, John Harbaugh's prepared a lunch, they order some pizzas. What do you do in that spot?
It's probably just chill and order.
A thought on Crustables here? What are we doing?
Yeah, something easy. I think we want to church it up because it feels like it should be.
Yeah.
But these guys are just dudes, man. They're just people.
Chris, to me, if I was like a head coach and an owner came over and he's like, listen, I just picked up some Wendy's on the way, a couple junior bacons through the table. I got to be honest with you. I'd be like, you know what? We were late. I get this. Like,
no, I'm sure John's wife made lunch. And okay. Whether it was something they had or something they brought. Who knows?
Getting the pizza rolls out of the freezer. I'm just curious. You shut somebody's house the room.
It's not that casual, but I'm sure that it's like.
Because you hear all these reports of going out to dinner. You show up to somebody's house for lunch and you want to hire them. I think you got to bring the lunch.
Yeah, it's also tough to rely on Mrs. Harbaugh to make lunch.
Yeah.
So what I would do.
I'm sure this was planned.
Okay, but because it's planned, here's how I would plan it out. Once John says to me, I'm Chris Mara. John's like, yeah, 2 o'clock on Sunday works. Chris then does all his research on the best restaurants in and around his neighborhood, calls up and says, hey, I was going to pick up from blah, blah, blah. What would you like? And so then you're supplying the food by picking it up, bringing it over. It's a place he already loves. It's a fancy place in the area. And now you're not putting the Harbaughs on notice. Say, hey, feed me. I'm hungry.
I agree.
That'd be my approach.
You can't have that. Mrs. Harbaugh can't be breaking out the deli meats out of the fridge. Mm. That can't happen.
The question is, are you having a beverage?
I'm trying to liquor him up.
Or iced tea. Or is it lemonade? Or is it a beer? Like, what do you have it?
I think that's on John to offer Chris.
Yeah, I'm
a beer.
Following the lead, man.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Because think about it.
It's on the host. It's always on the host.
And you're also recruiting him. You're trying to sleep with him. So you almost have to follow the lead.
Yes.
I'm so curious what happened in that meeting, and I'm curious if this leads to him getting the job, of him saying, you know what, I'm comfortable, I'm going to do it.
But it was me, I'd be like, hey, I'm making martinis, you want one?
Yes.
Now, smarten me up and the audience up, Chris Mara, tell me more about him. So you're saying right now he's probably acting like the de facto owner?
He probably is, because John's obviously going through cancer treatment, and so I don't think John could travel. Right now down to, where's he live? In Baltimore, I'm sure?
Yeah, in the Baltimore area.
In the Baltimore. I don't think he could travel. So Chris is handling a lot of those duties. And so, he's it's hard for me to explain it because I've known him, I feel like, half my life.
But he's worked in the front office for multiple administrations.
100%. Well, not only that, he's part of the family. He's part of the ownership group. And he does a lot of things behind the scene. He doesn't get the kudos or the blame or the whatever, but he's part of the organization and he's been there forever. For me, the Maras feel like my adult family, you know what I mean? Because I was 22 when I came here. You meet them all. I became close with everybody there. And so it's hard for me to say what he does, what he doesn't do, because he's just there.
Well, I think what fans have assumed he does is he's like a scout. He helps with pro player personnel.
Right.
And because his last name is Mara, he has survived all these administrations. That's why I say that Giant fans have been mad at him and he's been the boogeyman for the last
decade.
Yeah,
they get bitter about that. But if your family owned a plumbing business and the father owned it and then he gave it to the kids and the sons and they did the job, would you be upset with them just because it's a family business?
Right, right.
I don't think people look at it that way. They look at it as they own it, meaning the fans own it, and they have a say in it. And it's just not the case. It's a business like any other business.
Here's all I know. For all the unfair or fair criticism Chris Mara's taken for 15 years, if he seals the deal on John Mara, his reputation amongst Giant fans,
look, I think,
golden.
Right. I think, and this is my last say on this. I think the Mara family, not John, everybody else, gets blamed because fans run out of people to blame.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Can't blame the player. I blame them enough. Can't blame the coach. I blame them enough. Can't blame the general manager. I blame them enough. Let me blame somebody who I've never seen and don't know what they do.
An hour ago, and you could rewind on the Odyssey app, we played a clip of a Steeler fan blaming the fans for last night's loss.
Right.
So you talk about running out of people to blame.
She might have been the smartest fan I've ever heard on this network.
She may have been. Let's go to Mike in Clifton Park. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. So I just want to bring up a Giant point, a Met point, and a Sean point, please. So the Giants, I mean, what dumb luck in terms of Shane and Dable. They could have been fired last year, and they would have missed out on this whole coaching cycle.
You're right.
You know, I mean, Jackson Dart was also dumb luck, too, in a way, if you think about it. So talk about good fortune here. The Mets, I'm waiting for the Kyle Tucker domino to fall. I don't know if he's going to be a Met, but I can't wait to get things moving. Because I think once that domino falls, things hopefully will start to have some action here. And then Sean comes up on my social media feed all the time. And I realized the other day, did you realize he looks like a Cabbage Patch Kid? Does anyone notice that?
Yes.
You know, because if there is anyone that does a good job with AI,
yes.
I mean, I see Sean as a Cabbage Patch Kid with a New York Giant winter pom-pom.
I completely agree. And I think, so I've seen this numerous times. I think Gio has said it on the air. And I think Craig back in the day when I was working with him, I think he like put out a picture of Sean Morash as a Cabbage Patch Kid. So you're not alone in that. Like, there is certainly a view looking at Sean as if he's a real-life Cabbage Patch Kid.
I find it lazy and taps into the bald thing. What about me? I got a beard. Babies don't have beards. Big difference.
You don't see it?
Listen, I look like a lot of things. Lump of you-know-what, all this other stuff. Cabbage Patch? I have a beard. Babies don't have beards.
Just because you have a beard doesn't disqualify the comp.
What? So what? Outside of me being bald, what about me as a baby?
And that you're very cuddly. That you got big cheeks that people just want to grab.
Don't be nice to me.